All right.
I know you enrolled at the U of I when you were just 17. You started working for the Professor Van Allen back in the fall of 58. He was so renowned, and the buildings named after him, the radiation belts he discovered. What was it like to work with him and be his mentee?
Well, it was a pleasure to work with Jim Van Allen. He was a very pleasant guy, and he played an important role in my life, giving me advice at a very early age in the space program.
You've designed and built instruments for more than 35 space missions. Is there one that was the most challenging or perhaps of which you are the most proud?
Oh, yes, I'll have to answer that with the Voyager spacecraft, Voyagers 1 and 2, two spacecraft that were launched in 1977 on a historic mission to the outer planets, as Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. And because these planets go around the sun at a different rate, in 1977 there was a unique opportunity to fly by all four of them with one single mission. And that opportunity only comes about every 180 years. So, and it's still operating. In fact, Voyager 2, I'm actually here working on a paper to be published in the journal Nature. A Voyager 2 crossed the boundary we call the heliosphere, the heliopause, last November, and I'm just ready. And that's a boundary between the gas coming out from the sun and the interstellar plasma. When we launched the spacecraft, we had no idea if we could even ever reach that boundary, but we did with Voyager 1 about 7 years ago, and now it's Voyager 2.
And that makes them both the most distant human-made objects ever to, well, how do I even word that? The most distant objects we've ever made, right?
Ever made by a human, that's right. It's hard to fathom how far they are from the Earth or Sun. Voyager 1 is at 145 astronomical units distance between the Sun and the Earth. But to put it in a more perhaps understandable way, it takes 18 hours now for the radio signal to get back from Voyager 1. I might remind you that when the astronauts landed on the Moon, that was about the first time you could discern the speed of light, the speed at which radio waves propagated. When mission control would ask a question of the astronaut on the Moon, they would answer with a delay of about 2 seconds. So we're out there so far. It takes 18 hours for the radio signal to get back.
One of your most recent successes was the Cassini mission to Saturn. Did everything go pretty much as planned with that one?
Oh, yeah, that's been a really great mission. Let's see, I forget what year it was launched, but it took 7 years to get to Saturn and arrived in, I think it was 2004. And actually, the mission has ended about a year ago. They crashed the spacecraft into Saturn. Which may seem unusual, but they do make a big mistake or something. Actually, they did that because we were running out of propellant, which couldn't control the trajectory of the spacecraft, and they didn't want it to run into one of Saturn's many moons and thereby contaminated with Earth microorganisms. I mean, the spacecraft's not biologically clean. And so they crashed it into Saturn. That's been NASA's principle, what to do with old, aging spacecraft, at least the ones at the outer planets.
You mentioned the moon landings. Much of your work has been with robotic and non-manned missions, but as we're approaching the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing, did you play any role in the Apollo program?
No, I did not, but I do think the landing on the moon, first step onto the new moon by Neil Armstrong, was a really historic event. I mean, it's the first time we stepped on another heavenly object. And, of course, that was followed by a number of astronauts landing on the moon, but But that was the end of it. And of course, they're still talking about, well, long range objectives to go to Mars, but they're planning some missions to go back to the moon. And that seems to be going kind of slowly, I would say.
Are you skeptical that we will ever walk on another planet?
Well, that's a really good question, actually. Of course, there aren't very many places that we can actually fly a human to. They often speak about exploring the solar system, but hey, we've done that with robotic spacecraft. But the point is that there are not very many objects out there that you'd really want to send a human to. Venus, our sister planet. I don't know how many of your listeners know about Venus. You see it in the evening sky. It's a very bright object. Not as bright as the moon, but it's the brightest one out there. Sometimes when it's properly located. But you know, the surface temperature of Venus is some 900 degrees Fahrenheit above the melting point of lead. So, you really can't go to Venus. By the way, I might point out that that's because Venus has a dense carbon dioxide atmosphere, and you certainly know about the worry that we have about putting carbon dioxide into the Earth's atmosphere. So that ought to be a lesson for humankind. But if you look at the other planets, Mars is about the only, Mars or maybe landing on an asteroid are about the only things you can really think you'd ever want to do with a human. And of course, President George W. Bush announced quite a number of years ago of the prime objective of the U.S. space program is to land on humans on Mars. And that is still the long-range objective, but it's really a difficult thing to do. And I don't know if that'll happen in my lifetime or not. We'll see.
You are retiring today at 79, but it sounds like it may only be semi-retirement for you. You're going to continue doing some work at the university?
Well, I'm asked that question, what are you going to do next? And I've been telling people, well, I guess I'll just come to my office in the usual way. And I do have plenty of leftover things. And even presently operating things like Voyager 1 and 2, I'm a principal investigator on that and funded by NASA, so I'm going to continue to work on data returning from those missions. I have another project on a radar we flew to Mars to search for subsurface water and also study the ionosphere of Mars. So I'm still engaged with NASA on several things. As long as my health continues, I'm going to keep working on those kind of things.